Genesis chapter 28. And please hear what God himself would say to you from this portion of his word. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants after you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham." So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paddan Aram, to Laban, the son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place, and he put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the God of Abraham, the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, because the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set up as a pillar to, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." We have been looking at God's promise to Eve to bring a Savior from her, a seed that would come from her body and would crush the head of Satan. We've seen how God has appeared to Abraham and has given him this blessing that in him and in his seed all the families of the earth would be blessed. And how this blessing has come through Isaac to Jacob. We saw how when Isaac's wife Rebekah was pregnant it was not going so well because the little youngins inside the womb were wrestling about. She got an oracle from the Lord who said there's two nations inside of you, and the older will serve the younger. We saw how when they were born, Jacob stole, in a sense, Esau's birthright. He tricked him. He took advantage of him. And we saw last week how when Isaac, who loved Esau more, was going to bless Esau before his death, that Rebekah overheard something of it and reported it to Jacob and hatched a scheme to steal the blessing. Covered up the smooth skin on Jacob and put the earthy smelling garments of Esau on Jacob, and Jacob went in and stole the blessing. And as a result, Esau was furious, and he vowed revenge. When dad dies, I'm killing my brother, he said. And Rebekah heard that as well. She seemed to have her fingers on the pulse of the family. And she said to Jacob, you need to go till your brother's anger subsides, and then I'll send for you. Something she was never able to do, by the way. But then she went to her husband and said, you know, my life is just not worth living if Jacob marries one of the daughters of Heth, like Esau has. Please, send him away. And so our text starts off with Isaac sending Jacob away. And he has this dream. It is a wild dream in which he is blessed beyond his imagination. I want us to look at that and the blessings that God gives to him. But I want to start by thinking about Jacob's nightmare, or the nightmare of his life as he was there that night. You know, the text gives us some indications. It tells us to a certain place because it doesn't even want to tell us where he is. And he has this night to reflect. It's dark. He seems to be all by himself. And as he's there and as he's thinking, I would imagine as he's reviewing what's happened in his life and why he's on the run. And it'd be like a nightmare to him. My life is a nightmare, he would say. First of all, my family's all messed up. My dad loves my older brother and has neglected me, doesn't love me. He blesses my brother, but doesn't even call me. I have to steal the blessing. My father doesn't love me, and oh, how I long for his approval. My brother hates me. He's going to kill me. He's always been a man of the field, and dad likes him because of that, but he's always this just rude individual. He's never cared for me. He's never taken care of me. He's not been the kind of big brother that watches over his little brother. He wants to kill me. Mom loves me. But look at her life. She doesn't love dad. At least she doesn't respect him. She's a liar and a cheat and a swindler. And that's who I've become. I'm the boy that only the mom can love. Nobody likes me. Looked at his life, looked at his family, it's all messed up. No blessing there. Looked at his situation. Here I am, out in the middle of nowhere. You know, he could think, when my granddaddy Abraham wanted to get a wife for my dad, he sent a servant with camels and gold and gifts and all sorts of things. Dad sends me out with nothing. Here I am. At least there may have been some stuff, but the text doesn't record him having anything. All alone, pitch dark. No money, running for his life. Uncle Laban is literally 1,000 miles away, maybe only 600 or 700 miles as a crow flies, but as people walk, it's about 1,000. Long way. He probably would ask the question, am I really blessed? Is he really blessed? The blessing is that he would be wealthy, that he would have plenty of money, that God would give him good things. And what does he have? Not much. That he would be fruitful and multiply and become a great nation, and he's single. That he would be given the land. But he's running away. He has no land, and it's 1,000 miles. He would be the leader, only he's running because his brother wants to kill him. While Esau is at home with mom and dad, he's out in the middle of nowhere and heading even further away. Is he really blessed? Was dad's blessing anything? And there is some confusion in his mind, isn't there? Because when he stole Esau's blessing, it was prosperity and wealth and, you know, status and these sorts of things. But now that dad is sending him away, dad says, the blessing of Abraham. I thought that's what I was stealing, but dad didn't say anything about that until now. What's the deal? Did he reserve a blessing for me? He'd be so confused. What's going on? Am I really blessed? Am I worthy to be blessed? Look at my life. I hate my life. I hate what I've become. Ever feel that way? Ever? Some of us have great families, and some of us, we're with Jacob. It's like, my family is not normal. If normal is healthy, we are not normal. We're not healthy. We are dysfunctional. Not blessed, he would be tempted to say. It's kind of amazing that he could go to sleep at all. He's not a man of the field like his brother. He's a man of tents, and yet there he is out there with nothing. But sleep does come to him. And the blessing that comes in Jacob's wildest dreams are revealed to him. His dream's kind of amazing, really. Verse 12, then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. You know, it says ladder, and for the translators, that was probably a good word. We would probably think more of a stairway, you know. You folks my age, stairway to heaven, that sort of stuff. Heaven's gate, there was a cult that talked about that, but those are the words that are used here, a stairway to heaven, a ramp, something that was big enough to where angels ascending and descending could pass by each other without, you know, missing a rung on the ladder. It was more a stairway. And God's revealing something to him, that heaven is not closed, it's open. And it makes it sound, because the stairway, the ladder, it's on the earth and goes all the way to heaven, but it seems like it's in heaven and it comes down to the earth. And I say that because it seems like it's not a way for man to, or for Jacob to come to God, but for God to come to Jacob. And the fact that there's angels and it says ascending and descending, I think it's telling us something about the work of God on earth. Think about it. Jacob is saying to himself, there is no God. I can't see him at all. All this blessing I hear about is nothing. My life stinks. I hate it. I see no blessing of God. I see no God. And yet God comes to him. God reveals himself to him. In fact, the words could say, the picture could be that God's at the top of the stairway. But it could also be translated, and I go with those who would translate it this way, that God stood above him. I think that's the better understanding of the text, because when he says this is no other than the house of God, the gate of heaven, that God is here, he understands that this is the place of God. I'll call it the house of God. Heaven is open. Angels ascending and descending. He's been at work for a long time. Reality has just been revealed to him. It's been that way even before the dream. You know, God seems to come when we least expect him, doesn't he? I mean, there he is in this dream, and there's God standing right above him. And it seems like it's always that way. In fact, I would say in our lives, there's often times of testing where we cry out, God, help me, God, lead me, and it's like silence. That's what happened in some sense with Jacob, right? here's this blessing from his father wants to give to his older brother, and it's like a time of testing. And does he do what is right? No, not at all. He acts as though there's no God at all in the time of testing. And now that he's disgusted with himself, maybe, now that his life is miserable, if he does any kind of soul searching and he looks at his family and he looks at his life, he would have to conclude it's hopeless. Sometimes we succeed in the test, right? Our Lord Jesus goes to the wilderness, led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, Luke says in chapter 4. And when it's all over, angels come and minister to him, and he's successful. Here's a story where he's unsuccessful. He doesn't pass the test. He doesn't look like a man of faith at all. And yet God comes to him. And I think that's great news too, because often in our lives, in our weakness, we fail. We do not live by faith. It's usually in the debrief, it's usually in thinking about it afterwards, we say, I should have done this. I should have said this. I should have never done that. And we reflect, don't we? Look, God shows up. And it's not that God just shows up in this dream showing him that the way to heaven is open, that God himself is coming to him. But look at the words he says. I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your descendants. By the way, descendants is the word seed. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That is the blessing of Abraham, isn't it? Can you hear the words that God said to Abraham ringing in these words? You are the one, Jacob, and I'm coming to you. And it goes even further. Not only is he given this coveted desire, so to speak, from the family to be the head, the leader, the one in whose line the seed, the Christ, will come. But look how God speaks further to him in verse 15. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Now, I added the first person singular pronoun. I said I several times more than it was there, but it is God's promise to him, each one of those. I am with you. I will go with you wherever you go. I'm going to bless you and bring you back. I'm going to do all this, and I won't leave until I have. That's incredible. What incredible blessings. I think the amazing thing is that we can find Jesus Christ in this text. He is the one who makes all God's dreams come true. God gave the dream. God makes it come true through Jesus Christ. Think about it. Jesus is the promised seed. He is the seed of the woman who crushed Satan's head, who won the victory. He is the one in whom all the families of the earth are blessed. And he is the stairway to heaven. He is the one by whom God comes to us and reveals himself and redeems. He is the one whom God sent to be the way of life and to open heaven's gates. In Jesus Christ, Jacob is blessed. In Jesus Christ, God opens the way. And this blessing, God told us right here in this text, is for all the families of the earth. It's for all of us who would believe. Look at the list of blessings I put on page 11. It's not on the overhead, but it is on page 11. And the only reason there's only 24 is I had to edit it down because I wanted it to fit on one page in readable form. But he's made us in his image. He has called us to be his children, to be holy and blameless. He's predestined our election. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He said nothing. He will not fail us. Jesus himself, I will not leave you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's promised to bless us, to watch over us, to protect us. He's given us an inheritance, not just the promised land, but the promised heavens and earth, a new heavens and a new earth. Blessed beyond our wildest imagination, blessed beyond our wildest dreams. Look how Jacob responds to this. I've told you, I think I've kind of misled you. I want to apologize for that. I've told you at other times, Jacob's a jerk. Look how he responds. God comes with all these strong statements. I will do this. I will do this. No conditions, no nothing, just here it is. And then I read Jacob's words, if the Lord does this, if, then. And I'm like, let me say something to you, though. If that is the proper rendering of this text, I'm going to suggest it's not in just a second, but if that's the proper rendering of this text, then he's not saved yet. If you're here as one who hears the voice of God and all the blessings that he promises, but your response is in the future, I will receive him, you need to know you're in a very precarious place. You have no guarantee that you will live to see tomorrow. And you should come to him now. I've got three fill-in-the-blanks for this third one. The first one is, come to Jesus. If you've never been born again, if you've never... There's only one fill-in-the-blank, so you've got to choose for yourself which one you want to put in there. But the first one is, come to Jesus. The second one is, receive him. Receive the life he offers. Receive him as the sacrifice for your sins, the King of glory, the promised seed who crushes Satan's head. Receive him for all that he is as the second person of the Trinity and the Redeemer of God's elect. And if you've done these two things, then praise him. Praise Jesus, from whom all blessings flow. They're all in him. He is the stairway. He is the way that God himself has come to earth in himself, in Jesus Christ, the God incarnate. Will you receive him? Will you be found in him? You say, my life's messed up. I've done things that are wrong. You don't know how bad I am. And I just want to say, I'm glad I don't. But I know about Jesus. And he knows about you too. He even knows the things you will do after your conversion. And he still says, come. Come unto me. Come unto me. I come from a messed up family. I come from a messed up life. I've made some terrible decisions. I'm paying the consequences of them. Come. These blessings cannot be taken away from you. Come. Know him. Be reconciled to him. You know, we will see the difference between Jacob and Joseph in this series. Jacob being a man whom God saves and blesses in a mighty way, and he just squanders his life with bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. What he's going to do to his two wives, two concubines, and 12 children is unconscionable. Don't squander the blessings of God, and don't be a curse to those around you. Be more like Joseph, who is another picture of Christ, who is perfect. Christ, not Joseph. But Joseph shows us what it is to come from a messed up family and live by faith. Still heartache, still crisis, but a man of faith with whom God is with him all his days. Come. And live by faith. And live such a life that you are a blessing to others. Praise him as your daily way of living. As we come to the... Let's pray, and then we'll come to the table. And I do want to ask, if you are here as one who has never been reconciled to God, who does not have the blessing of God, this is the time to come. Just pray. You don't have to come up here or do any of that. You need to do business with God. Just do business with Him. Let's pray. Father, we sang earlier, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And it's true. And we do. Jesus, You are the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by You, and the Father comes to us through You, and we praise You. Lord, if there are those who need to come to You, please open their eyes. Please wake them from their nightmare. Please show them Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.